good to see all of you. It's so good to hear your voices as we worship God together. We're going to study His Word. So let me invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6. As we continue our series entitled Masterclass, Learning to Pray, we're walking through the Lord's Prayer phrase by phrase. So get to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll study the next petition that we're coming to, petition number 4. Let me just say by way of introduction that like so many other aspects of Christian theology and Christian truth, prayer has a ditch on both sides of the road. And sometimes in order to avoid going into the ditch on one side, we accidentally overcompensate and go into the ditch on the other side. So we want to drive down the road with a balanced, biblical perspective, Christian maturity in prayer. And so in one sense, I think of those ditches as selfishness and formalism. And what a gift Jesus has given to the church of all ages that keeps us out of both of those ditches. Again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that this prayer falls out in two tables, table about God's glory and a table about our good, right? So the table of God's glory, the first three petitions are your name, your kingdom, and your will. If we neglect table one, we treat prayer as a grocery list. We go off the road into selfishness and we just think basically just you look back at your prayers and there you find that they're always about your own comfort. Just make life easy for me. Make life feel great for me, right? That's one way to go off the road. The other way to go off the road is on the other side, right? Is to treat table two dismissively, right? So we're not talking about our bread. We're not talking about our needs, our forgiveness, our deliverance. And when we don't pray for our own needs, we're going off the road into formalism because we're starting to think, at least by our actions, that God doesn't really have time for my small concerns, my everyday life, my burdens, my worries, my anxieties, my hopes, my fears. So Jesus has given us this prayer that keeps us right here in a place of both worship and weakness. That's what table one and table two have the value of doing. We offer our praise because we know that God is worthy, and we bring our needs because we know that God is kind. God is good. So that's what we're looking at here this morning. If you'd follow along and read along with me as we've done each week, let's read this together. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So a book was written decades ago entitled Sleeping with Bread, Holding What Gives You Life. And it retells, it's a storybook, it's a picture book for children as well. And in that storybook, it retells the tragic and yet touching story of what happened in the aftermath of the bombing raids of World War II. Thousands of children were orphaned. They were instantly homeless. They were roaming the streets in search of food. Some of them were starving. The fortunate ones were rescued and were brought into refugee camps all over the town, right? But so many of them had been traumatized by suffering and near starvation that they couldn't sleep at night. The trauma was too great and they couldn't sleep at night. And they were terrified about running out of food, was what the workers kept hearing them say. They were terrified they were gonna run out of food. And realizing this, the workers started a new routine. And what they would do every night, right before everybody went to bed, as the children lay down in their beds, they would put a piece of bread in every child's hand. And what they noticed, amazingly, was the children started sleeping. The children slept better. And it's like the bread in their hands reminded them, I ate today and I will eat again tomorrow. I had what I needed today. I will have what I need again tomorrow. You think about this. Bread, give us today our daily bread. Bread is crucial for human survival. This petition, give us our daily bread, it's a prayer that reminds us that God delights to meet our earthly needs, our even very physical needs. So think about petition four under three categories we're studying here this morning. Number one, God and our physical needs. God and our physical needs. And here's a question for your own personal reflection. Do you depend on God for your daily needs? That's what this petition is aiming at. Give us today our daily bread. Now, bread in the Bible, it can mean a lot of things. And we're going to see some of the things that it means, some of the expansive meanings of the word bread. But a lot of times in the Bible, bread means bread. I mean, it means actual loaves of bread, or a little bit expanded out from there, bread often means food, the larger category of just food. So if you had people over in biblical times and you were said to have broken bread with them, that didn't just refer to the baked goods that were on the table. That referred to the entire meal. We broke bread, we had a meal. And so that bread was a placeholder for everything that you ate that evening. And in a way, I think this is exactly where this petition can get difficult to apply. When thinking about bread for tomorrow isn't necessarily something that occurs to you today, because you probably have a loaf of bread already there. If you eat as many PB&Js as I do, you probably have a loaf in the freezer as well, so that when this bread is done, there's another one you can pull and thaw out, and there's more bread ready. So how do you pray for daily bread when the pantry's already full? That's probably the situation most of us woke up to this morning. The pantry's full. How do you pray for daily bread? And you think about the practice of Jesus in the pages of the Gospels. Every time you see Jesus at a meal and he breaks bread, it says that he broke bread and he gave thanks. And this is one of the ways that Christians have developed the origin of the practice of a mealtime prayer. So that as we break the bread we already have, and there's probably more in the pantry, but as we break the bread, we express thanksgiving to God. God provided this bread, so we return to him immediately with gratitude, to cultivate gratitude for God's provision. But again, bread often means more than bread. Bread often is the hyperlink word in the Bible for everything you need in order to continue to survive, everything you need in order to make it through and be sustained. And so here's how Christians thought about petition number 4 centuries ago. This is the Heidelberg Catechism. Question number 125. It's walking all the way through the Lord's Prayer. What does this petition mean? What is this petition? Here's the fourth petition. What does the fourth petition mean? Answer: give us this day our daily bread means take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good. Help us to trust you alone and not to rely on anything else. That is such rich pastoral theology pulled right out of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Father, when we ask for daily bread, we're asking you for all the things that we could need today for us to make it through. So how do you pray for daily bread when the pantry's full? A couple of things. You praise the God who is faithful. You praise the God who is faithful. When I was growing up, our church sang a song, and it was in this minor key. It had this Hebraic kind of 2-4 feel, and the tempo accelerated, which made it one of my favorite songs, and it just went like this. It started slow. Jehovah Jireh, you can clap with me. My provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. It would just go faster and faster, which was awesome for a kid. You walk into church and you're 7 years old and you need to let some energy out. That's the perfect song. You're singing these words, Jehovah Jireh. But it wasn't just fun. It was theological. It was meaningful because they're drawing that from one of God's most ancient names, Jehovah Jireh. It means, it's translated, the Lord provides. His grace is sufficient for me. The reason that Christians should be marked by humility, the reason Christians should be marked by contentment and gratitude is because we are not self-made people. None of us. The blessings you have are not self-made, conjured up by your awesomeness blessings. Every good gift that comes into your life is ultimately an expression of the faithfulness and goodness and provision of God. I'll put it more pointedly. You don't have your wealth because you're so wise. So maybe you have been wise with your money. Wonderful. Where'd you get the wisdom? Ultimately, you start asking enough questions and you find out God is the one who provides the provision, the job, the wisdom, the know-how, the skills, the giftings that you have. He wired you in this way. We don't have self-made blessings. What we have is a faithful God who provides all of our needs, Philippians 4, according to his riches and glory. Look, this is, by the way, this is why Christians are so generous. Because we're not squeezing our security out of our paychecks. By the way, that's where Jesus is going next, right after this prayer. At the end of this same chapter in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, let me explain to you why the Gentiles are so anxious. Because they live their whole lives groping after money and security in money. And then once they get it, then they're anxious that they're going to lose it. And Jesus says, but that's not the way with my people. Here's what Jesus says. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? And in this prayer, I love that it adds the word daily, because that implies what? That you're asking for the bread every day. Give me the bread I need today. Give me the forgiveness I need today. Keep me from the temptations I'll face today. They're daily prayers because they're daily weaknesses, they're daily vulnerabilities, they're daily needs. We don't get contentment through the daily liturgy of Amazon Prime. We learn contentment by the daily habits of worship. That's the genius of the Lord's Prayer. 57 words in the original language to teach us how to be humble, grateful, thankful, worshipful people. What did the Apostle Paul say in Philippians chapter 4? Do not be anxious about anything. So what's the alternative to anxiety? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace, here comes peace pouring in, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just look at that text. Think about, meditate on those words. For all the things that we might say to anxious souls, let's not be embarrassed to talk about the practice of prayer. If someone's burdened by anxiety, to lean in and say, how is your prayer life? Let's start there. Jesus starts there. Paul starts there. There's a story of George Mueller, amazing true story of this man whom God used to start all these orphanages and care for thousands of children, and their daily needs and necessities are all met. And he's starting these orphanages while he's trusting God to meet all the needs of more and more children at all these different places. But here's one of the things that he said. He said, our desire is not that we might be without trials of faith, but that the Lord graciously would be pleased to support us in the trial, that we might not dishonor him by distrust. This way of living brings the Lord remarkably near. Oh, that is so good. And you keep reading the book and the story about George Mueller and these orphanages, and they're facing all these trials. And when God provides, Mueller always sets this example, and he stands in front of everybody and he holds up the milk or he holds up the supplies that have been brought there. And he says, see, we asked God for daily bread, and look, he has provided. All that we need is right here for us because God has been faithful. What a liturgy. That's a liturgy that's formative for your life as a Christian. When your pantry's full, praise the God who's faithful. How do you pray for daily bread when the pantry's full? When the pantry's full, remember that life is fragile. So growing up and then living in New Orleans, our whole city experienced Hurricane Katrina. You ask everybody 3 weeks before August 29, 2005, none of them knew some of them were going to spend the night in the Superdome, in a crumbling Superdome. None of them knew. You know, it turns out I'm going to live the rest of this year in Baton Rouge or in Houston or here in Birmingham or in Jackson, Mississippi, or all the places to which New Orleans citizens were flung. Some of you have experienced this. house fires. Some of you have experienced unexpected job loss or the loss of your business, just crippling. Couldn't see it coming. Suddenly you're in a tailspin, don't know where your needs are going to be met. Some of you are very familiar with how suddenly life can change and your financial security can change. Remember our study of the book of James, James chapter 4. He leans in and he says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll travel to such and such a city, maybe spend a year there, do business, make money, and yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be." What is James doing? He's blowing a massive hole in the myth of self-sufficiency. And don't we need it? There's a sage prayer in Proverbs chapter 30. We get to overhear and eavesdrop on this person praying. God includes this prayer in Scripture so that we can learn wisdom. And here's the prayer. "Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I might have nothing and steal, profaning the name of my God." You think about the way that that is very much like an early echo of petitions 1 and 4 of the Lord's Prayer. If he has great abundance, he'll forget God, and in so doing, not hallow God's name, petition number 1, bring dishonor to God's name. And if he doesn't have food and he steals, he will not hallow God's name. He will not treat God's name with honor, petition number 1. So he prays what? "Give me what I need today. Give me my daily bread." Daily bread in Scripture, Jesus is using this echo language, this allusion language. It's hearkening back. It's tipping its hat to one of the great stories of the Old Testament, the story of when God brought his people out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and out into the wilderness. And how are all these people, God's children, going to eat in a desert out in the middle of the wilderness? And manna, bread, heaven's bread, falls out of the sky and it provides every family exactly what they need. And the amazing thing about this bread is it had the shortest shelf life. It all goes bad by nightfall. So you only have enough bread for today. You can't hoard it and store it up and find your security in this. You have to trust that tomorrow when you wake up, more bread will fall. You have today's bread. Tomorrow, more bread is going to fall. It was a physical picture in Israel of God's new mercies every morning. Don't rely on yesterday's mercies or tomorrow's mercies. There are new mercies for today, and there will be new mercies tomorrow. The mercies that you'll need tomorrow are going to come tomorrow. The mercies that you'll need for today are going to come today. You think about this. Don't you wish sometimes, for your own security's sake, that you could just ask God to just dump it all right now? Right? Just how about a lifetime supply of all the things that I'll ever need? Just unload it all from heaven. Give me all the money that I'll ever need to live the rest of my life. Here's the question. If God answered that prayer, would he ever see you again? But think about it. Would he ever see you again? Now, this prayer is you learning to depend on God every day. Depending on God, remembering life is fragile. I'm not in charge and I'm not in control as much as I might deceive myself into thinking that. And I want to praise the God who provides. He provided yesterday, and I've got this bread in my hand. I think he's going to provide today. God in our physical needs. Second, God in our spiritual nourishment. I need to move faster. God in our spiritual nourishment. In the Bible, so bread is bread, but it's often more than bread. So we could just confine ourselves to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, woman comes running up to Jesus. She is in urgent mode. She is in crisis mode. And she says, "I need you, please, to heal my daughter." And Jesus turns around and he makes this really cryptic statement about bread. And he says, healing is the children's bread. And this is a very sharp woman. She is keen. Jesus loves this about her. He's going to say that in a second. But for now, she's tracking and she says, "I know exactly what you mean by children. You're talking about Israel." And yes, I'm not an Israelite. If that's what you mean, then yes, I'm not an Israelite. And so if the bread belongs to the Israelites, because yes, there's this long-running story of God and his people, and the people are, God sets a table for them in the presence of their enemies, and he makes meals for them, and he prepares everything for them. I know I've not been in on that story, but she says, she snaps back and says, but you know what? The dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now just stop there and interpret this text. The bread Jesus is talking about isn't bread. The dogs aren't dogs. The crumbs aren't crumbs. She believes God's grace is so lavish that the scraps that Israel has neglected to eat are more than enough for her daughter's deliverance. That is such awesome faith that Jesus stops and says, everybody watch what just happened. And he commends this woman's faith. And guess what she goes home with? Bread. The children's bread. She brings it to her daughter. Daughter eats it. She's made whole, metaphorically speaking, right? Jesus commends her faith and her daughter is made whole. In the next chapter, so fast forward one chapter, Matthew 15 to Matthew 16. Here's what Jesus says. Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were discussing among themselves, we didn't bring any bread. Jesus says, why are you saying you do not have bread? It wasn't about bread. Then they understood that he had not told them to beware of the leaven in bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So the bad bread Jesus is talking about is false teaching. He's not talking about bread. Basically, Jesus is saying, imagine there's this Pharisee bakery, and I've been inside, and I'm giving it 0 stars. It's, don't eat, Pharisee Bakery sells funky bread. Don't go in there. Don't buy it. Don't eat it. It'll make you sick. Don't eat this stuff. And he's talking not about bread. He's talking about teaching, error, legalism. Bread is often more than bread. We need the bread of God's word. Again, Matthew's gospel, chapter 4. Jesus is being tempted. What does Jesus want touching his humanity? He wants food. He's been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. Enemy comes up alongside him, the tempter, and he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become what? Bread. Command these stones to become bread. And what's Jesus' response? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, in saying that, isn't dismissing the need for actual food. He didn't say, man shall not live by bread. He's too realistic for that. You are going to need bread, but he says, man shall not live by bread only. You need bread in order to physically survive, but you need more than bread. In addition to this bread, physical bread, we need God's word. That's the point, right? There's a traditional African-American spiritual that dates back to the time of slavery here in the United States. That particular song became a lot better known when it went viral around the year 2013. And it went viral because there was a group of people all sitting on a tarmac and the plane wasn't going to take off for a while. There was a delay. And on the plane were the Indiana Wesleyan University choir. And so the conductor stands up and he begins waving his arms and in comes this choir with note after note and increased complexity, melodies and harmonies, haunting, gorgeous music. And they're singing, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Verse 2, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Verse 3, when I come to die, give me Jesus. And this surging chorus, just give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Flight attendants were in tears. People had their phones out. That's why you can go watch it online. That day, everyone on that flight and millions of people watching later on were told that there is one thing we need more than anything in the world, and it's Jesus. In this deeper sense, when we pray for daily bread, we're saying, give me Jesus. Where do we get that idea in the Bible, straight out of the gospel, Gospel of John, chapter 6. People come up to Jesus and they say, do a trick, right? Do a dance. What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe in you? They asked. What are you going to perform? Interestingly, they reach back and they say, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. And he says, I'm the bread. He's not talking about bread. He's talking about himself. Partake of me, you live forever. Eat this bread, you'll need more tomorrow. Eat this bread, you live forever. Friend, have you this morning, have you received this bread? Have you trusted in Jesus, turned from your sin, looked to what he has done on the cross and in his rising from the dead? You do that, you live. You live today, you live tomorrow, you live for all time. The secret of Christianity, and this is a secret you only truly feel and see after you step all the way inside. You don't get to see it on the outside, you see it on the inside. Faith takes you in and you see the secret of Christianity. And the secret of Christianity is the one thing we can't live without now and for all eternity is Jesus. If you are in darkness, good news. He is the light of the world. If you are thirsty, good news, he is living water. If you feel dirty, he is God's cleansing power. If you are hungry, he is bread that never runs out. As a child of God, and you pray petition number 4, every night you go to sleep, Jesus is bread in your hand. He is the promise that the God who provided for you today is the same yesterday and today and forever. God in our physical needs, God in our spiritual nourishment, Christians in a world of need. I'm not going to review the closing point from last week about how this prayer really has a touch point with transformation, confession, and enlistment. And that third point, enlistment, was the idea that to pray these words rightly, I mean all 6 petitions, to pray these words rightly is to sign on to be used by God in these very things in the world. So put it this way, a church that prays for daily bread also provides for people in need. We're enacting it. We're pulled into the story. This prayer isn't just for us to get things. It's a prayer for us to become something, to have a new way of seeing the world, a new way of being in the world, a new way of inhabiting the world. You think about, so no movie in history has generated more backyard karate than The Karate Kid. It was absolute great. All of us are fighting. All of us are crane kicking, which is the most telegraphed move ever in all of time, right? But we thought this is just the genius move. And there's one goal, if you've seen Karate Kid, you know there's this one golden moment where Daniel LaRusso is tired of doing chores for Mr. Miyagi, right? He's tired of, remember the chores, painting the fence, wax on, wax off, right? He's tired of all, doing all these things. And he says, I'm done. And Mr. Miyagi at that moment says, hold on, before you leave, paint the fence one more time. And when he paints the fence, Miyagi throws just the fiercest punch ever. And the punch is blocked by the paint the fence move. And that's when everything clicks. The painting the fence was adding muscle memory and movements that's gonna make him this great fighter. How's that connected here? Anyway, so you pray for daily bread and it's developing this whole set of muscle memory, muscle movements that embody God's grace in the world. So when we send missionaries among the nations, when we fund missionary work around the world and global offering and all the rest, what are we doing? We're saying we want the world to taste the bread that doesn't just make you live today, it makes you live forever. We are enacting. We're not just asking, we're embodying the grace of God. when we alleviate urgent physical needs here and around the world. It's because we've learned in this prayer that Jesus doesn't just care about people's souls, he cares about their bodies. This prayer is forming us. So is the pantry full? Praise God. Also remember, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. So I said at the outset of this series that I'm going to look for different ways along through each week to give you some practical encouragement, some practical helps for your prayer life, because my hope and goal is that we will not just kind of think about a theology of prayer, but that you will get yourself a prayer life and experience and step inside the wonder of this, the joy of this. So, practical helps for praying this week. I'm going to give you three categories to integrate all together. The first is today's psalm. So my regular rhythm of prayer is to pray a psalm of the day first thing in the morning. There are five daily psalm choices, and here's how you figure out what they are. You take today's date. So today's date is June the 30th. So today's psalms will be Psalm 30, then add 30. 60, 90, 120, 150. You could scan all those and see which one gets closest to the things that are going on in your life, and you pray through those line by line. And the beauty of praying the Psalms is they give you tons of content. You have more content than you'll ever know what to do with. If you don't know how to riff on this content, just pray it. It's literally written as a prayer. Make these prayers your own. So they're already prayers. Pray the words or riff on them. So in case this helps, I looked at all the five daily psalms for every day of this week in advance, and I've selected some that are easier to pray and use than others. If this helps, great. So tomorrow morning is the 1st of July. One of the options is Psalm 121. It's short, and it connects with daily bread type needs. Encourage you to pray Psalm 121 tomorrow morning. Tuesday, an option on the table is Psalm 62. Again, great psalm, short, lots of content for you to bring to the Lord along with your needs. Wednesday, these two chapters are a little bit longer, so you could pray the whole chapter if you got time and you want to do that, but here's a smaller section of chapter 33, and then on Thursday, a smaller section of chapter 34 that you can pray. And then on Friday, Psalm 65. On Saturday, Psalm 36. And then Sunday, if you come to church, and I encourage you to come to church, corporate prayer. So you're individual personal prayer life folds out into the larger body of Christ where we pray together. Prayer of intercession, we do it every Sunday. Come to church, we'll pray together. And so as you're praying that given psalm, you're jotting some notes down to keep yourself focused, and you're combining today's psalm with, next, today's names. Today's names. So cover your closest people, but don't neglect your own daily needs. So this is my prayer journal that I use every morning, and I will jot down things to keep myself focused. There's a short list of names that show up on literally every page of this, and that list of names is Paula, Ellie, Hunter, Kinsley, Will, and Lily, every day. And as a verse in the particular psalm that I'm praying tomorrow morning, as a verse brings other people to mind, needs that I'm aware of to mind, I take that as the Holy Spirit prompting me to pray for different people. Maybe you, maybe somebody on our elder council, maybe something that I read on our church website about prayer needs that came in this week. So I'm free to leave the list. I'm free to work with the list. So, but I don't want to feel overwhelmed that I have to pray for everyone every day for all the things, right? I have to pray for my family, my life, my work, my small group, the elders, the staff, right, all that, my mom, my mother-in-law, my nieces and nephews, Brook Hills missionaries, right? That can be very overwhelming if you're trying to hit all those things every day. So come up with some way, and this, my way is I have an index card that's on the next day of prayer, and it just has categories of people that I pray for each day. So every Monday, I pray for all the people I know who are keenly suffering. So I have a list of names, but it's not confined to that list of names. I can just go on our website, on our Brook Hills Prayer email, and I can see some fresh names. I pray for our Brook Hills elders every Thursday. That's intuitive because our elder meetings are on Wednesday night. And so when we meet on Wednesday nights, I'm writing things down to pray for. My friends have shared something in our shepherding group. I'm writing that down. So when I wake up Thursday morning, it's like, hey, saw these guys last night, it's fresh on my mind. I'm gonna pray the psalm and take it toward these people. So have an index card, some kind of way that includes different people on different days. Make lists, but stay flexible. Make it intuitive to your own life, to your own people. So integrate today's psalm with today's names, with today's tasks. So what's on your calendar tomorrow? When you wake up and you open to Psalm 121 and you think about, what am I doing today? What's my 10 o'clock? What's my lunch? Who am I meeting with? Who am I hanging out with? And you can just start praying. If there's something in this psalm that gives you opportunities to pray for that person, maybe you're having lunch with a friend and you're like, I know she's going through a hard time these days. Lord, just help me to be a source of encouragement and refreshment over this meal. Help me to be a grace to this friend of mine. Maybe you're seeing that in one of the psalm verses and you're just riffing on it, just taking it in the direction of this person's life. So integrate names, psalms, tasks. Connect something from today's psalm with today's calendar. So basically you're just saying, what do you have to do today? How can I ask God for what I need today? And then you're saying, give us this day our daily bread. So how can I connect words in this psalm to things of people around me are needing in life right now? All right, so all that to say, this is my hope for you, my prayer for you all throughout this series is that you will lean into the new mercies God has for you every morning this week, that you will find ways to give thanks for the bread that you have, and that you will trust God for the bread and the things that you need. And that's the grace and gift that prayer is. I hope you will taste it and see that the Lord is good this week. Step in and try some of these things.